Body, Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your life connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Hi there, this is Aluna Michaels, esoteric astrologer, and I am going to be talking with you today because it is November. We will talk about Scorpio and Pluto from a esoteric perspective and teach you some deeper aspects of those signs and planets. So let's get started, and I can give my contact information later, but my website is alunamichaels.com. Okay, so Scorpios. Scorpio as a sign is so deep. I think it's most of the people I encounter in my astrology practice who are Scorpios, I mean, it just lends itself as a sign to depth and to spiritual investigation and spiritual growth. And part of that is Scorpio is a sign of spiritual tests. And people who are Scorpios will relate to that. And also let me say while I'm talking about being a Scorpio, that can mean your sun sign is in Scorpio, which is late October through late November, mid-November. Or you could have, say, Scorpio moon sign, or Scorpio is your rising sign or ascendant. Or you could have a lot of planets in the eighth house of your chart, which is Scorpio's house. Or you could have a really prominent Pluto being the planet connected with Scorpio. And we'll talk about that later. I got a bunch of charts to kind of go over with you guys that could be interesting for you. Okay, so that's what it means when I'm saying being a Scorpio. It could relate to all those ways. Okay, so much to say here. Where do I start? Let's talk about some big issues for Scorpio. Because Scorpio is so much about power, and a lot of this is going to relate to Pluto as well when I get into Pluto, but Scorpio is about power and how to handle power and energy. And there's such, I think Scorpios have just so much energy coursing through them and are faced with issues of power that it's very easy for Scorpio to get into resentments and frustrations and a lot of self-condemnation or even self-hatred. Scorpio is a sign, maybe along with Capricorn, about perfection. I think because Scorpio is able to see, because Scorpio is so much about transformation. It's like you can see yourself as a Scorpio with the world being perfect or with you being perfect or above and beyond these problems that would hold you back. And so I think from that there comes a sense of struggle for Scorpio that then relates to feeling resentful at themselves for not being able to live that perfection or live that transcended way. And in a way, Scorpio is very magnificent because it wants to overcome. But where Scorpio can get held back is stuck in the resentments. And that can be resentments with people or themselves. And please hear this. I'm not going to be saying, you know, all Scorpios have bad things happen to them, because, of course, everyone has different things happen to them. But I think as a sign, it's harder for Scorpio to move beyond those things sometimes. Ironically, Scorpio is the sign of moving beyond it. So you have the capacity as a Scorpio or someone with a prominent Pluto or a prominent Scorpio to move beyond these things. And, you know, Friedrich Nietzsche said, "What doesn't kill me makes me stronger." That's so Scorpio, you know. And the idea is that you're not being killed necessarily by life. You're being transformed and challenged. So, okay. Other issues there with the resentments, forgiveness, we'll go into more of that. Fears of abandonment are huge with Scorpio, just the issue of abandonment and aloneness. Scorpios generally crave privacy and solitariness, but there's also that idea of abandonment at the same time. You know, Scorpio, too, is about fear and the mastering of fear. Carl Jung would talk about our shadow self. You know, this is the realm of Scorpio and of Pluto. And we all have, and I want to say this too, we all have Scorpio in our chart somewhere. Even if you don't have a planet in Scorpio or Pluto doing something spectacular in your chart, Scorpio somewhere, there's a house that it's in and or contained within in your chart, and that would be the area you're looking at, especially looking at transforming. Also, the house where Pluto lands in your chart, not just where Scorpio is, but those two areas would be these kind of things you could apply to. But this idea of overcoming fear and mastering this shadow side of yourself. And Scorpio also is, and Pluto is, this gold within. The symbol of Pluto, which relates to Scorpio, in the old-looking astrology, sometimes you see it now like a P and an L almost-looking thing, but the old glyph that is so spectacular is a chalice. It's a like a is an upside-down cross sort of thing with a cup on top and then a circle inside that little cup. And it's supposed to represent the soul being purified by life experiences. And this idea of alchemy, of changing, you know, lemons into lemonade, or, you know, poop into beautiful flowers, and that idea of that transformational process of taking your shadow self and what your deepest fears are and becoming empowered through that transformation. And that quest, I think, really drives Scorpio people. And so that's a main purpose for Scorpio, and of course for all of us as a human condition, but especially you come in as a Scorpio, you really want to do this stuff. And so there's this idea of the privacy and abandonment connection, but part of that comes from Scorpio wanting to go into that dark place or that place without light in them and sit in it and bring the light to it with it. You know, whether it's forgiving, whether it's facing fear. You know, I have this friend who's a Scorpio, and she, this was a long time ago when her boy was little, but he had some sort of coughing problem, some sort of massive, I don't know if it was more than an allergy, it was something that she was afraid he would die in the night from coughing. And she would just lived terrified that he was going to die, or he was going to die in the night, and she didn't get to him, and all this stuff, and she just couldn't deal with this fear that loomed over her. And she told me she went into a room. She didn't tell anybody this was going on. She didn't talk about the fear until she had conquered it, which is another Scorpio trait, it seems. Don't want to show their weaknesses. But she went into a room to meditate, and she said she visualized everything. She said she visualized her son. She imagined what would happen. Worst case scenario, he's choking in the night. She can't get to him in time. He dies in her arms. She sees him, the funeral, the burying him, the gravestone, and she visualized all of it. And then she said, "If it happens, I can handle it." And she came out of that meditation. It was like this huge challenge to her to say, "My deepest fear is this kid's gonna die, and I didn't save him." And she walked herself through it, and then she was free of the fear. And he was fine. Maybe even her spiritual guides, you know, had the kid have this issue so that she'd confront such a deep fear. But I remember when she told me about this, I don't have a heavy Scorpio deal in my chart, and I was like, whoa. I mean, whoa. No self-pity, going in, dealing with it, struggling with herself. She didn't talk to her husband about it, she talked to her friends about it. It was like, mastered it. And then she felt she could release, like she was able to then have less fear around taking care of her boy. Not that she didn't love him or something, but she just felt she'd confronted the worst, she could handle the worst, and it made her feel more poised. I don't know if you all remember a movie called Holy Man that was with Eddie Murphy, and he was like a guru, and Jeff Goldblum finds him walking on the streets and ends up taking him into his life. And there was a scene where there was a guy who was afraid to fly, and they said, oh, you know, you could heal him and do this. And, you know, Eddie Murphy stood behind him, and this guru character walks the guy through. He's on the plane, and he's relaxed, and you think it's going to be one of these meditations, and he's feeling safe. No, he takes him through the plane crash. The plane is shaking, the plane crashes, he's in a million pieces on the ground, and all the guests in this dinner party are, like, horrified. And the guy is freaking out, and then he comes at him. He's like, oh, my God, the fear's gone, because he, like, went through it. So there's this part of Scorpio that wants to go through the fire and empower themselves by going through it and integrate, like, overcoming the fear and then integrating the power that comes out of releasing all that fear. Like, there's like fear being a pent-up energy that's holding you back from greater progress. And if you can transform fear into empowerment, it's like, wow, that's where Scorpio really shines, you know? But so that's there. And now let's also talk about, in that regard, about forgiveness for Scorpio. I think this is something where holding on to resentments, difficulties from the past, this also binds up a lot of energy. And I think when Scorpios are more in their ego and not working on soul progress, they really get a lot of, like, energy from these resentments, you know. And to be on a spiritual path and work through these resentments at other people, sometimes even resentments at things in society, you know, politics or, I don't know, whatever, people that, you know, animal testing or things like this. It's like, not that you don't want to be a agent of change, but it's the way it would eat up your energy. Like, how am I going to make an impact that is, your energy is coming from a controlled space and not an out-of-control rage place or deep hatred place, but perhaps even coming from compassion. For instance, let's just say with hatred about people that experiment on animals. To see those people that they are causing bad karma to themselves by hurting animals, to have compassion for those people and then be able to create the change, which may be a strong thing you have to do to keep them from doing that, but your motive is you're protecting them from creating bad karma for themselves. Maybe they come back in a future life and they're tortured or something because they tortured animals in experiments. And to feel the soul is in a lower place, and by your changing what you do and make a change, you are protecting them from bad karma, as opposed to these people deserve to die and these people are miserable. Yeah. There's something about coming at it from instead of a dark place, from a place of light and healing, even if it looks strong, you know, even if you have to take strong steps, even with people, like, say, for instance, if there was somebody abusive in your family, you could resent that person and hate them, but that's just tearing your energy down. To move with forgiveness for that person and say, wow, this person has sowed some bad, bad seeds in their karmic soil, and they're going to suffer in this life or another one. To be able to then draw boundaries with that person, knowing that they're very strong boundaries. You don't want them around you. They don't want children, whatever it is. And to do it from not a sickening place inside yourself. I mean, this is a lot of what Scorpio is about, too. The sense of forgiving that person who's in such a lower consciousness that they would do these things, while still protecting yourself and taking those, let's say, third-dimensional steps to do the right thing to ensure they don't harm you again or someone else, whatever, clarifying your feelings toward them. And this could even be with, let's say, even with a non-dramatic example, you just had an argument with somebody, or there's a problem in a relationship that comes up over and over again. You know, it is a Scorpio thing to mull on it and not talk about it, because sometimes Scorpios feel it's weakness to admit they have hurt feelings or challenges or something. But to be able to say, okay, if I can go to this person and say, I don't like this behavior, instead of gnashing your teeth and resenting them, to say, wow, you're helping that person grow. To say, I don't like this, I'd like to change how we interact in our relationship, is such a blessing to the other person. Of course, if they want to grow, if they don't, you can make other decisions. But to be able to put that into the light, you know, that first you can forgive them inside and say, wow, this person may not even realize how much they're hurting me. Or maybe because Scorpios are so private about their deepest inner needs, maybe I never express what I do want or express what I don't want, and not to feel embarrassed you have needs and be able to express them. to someone else. Because it's funny what Scorpios will be hold in, because a lot of times it's, and let's just talk about that for a minute, this idea that Scorpios have a hard time accepting help or admitting they need help. There's this feeling of, you know, that triumphing through it on their own, which can sometimes, well, a lot of times, leave people out of your life, people that could really illuminate things for you, people could bond with you. And sometimes people look at Scorpios and say, well, they don't need me. You know, they're so strong. You know, you can be battling fear or whatever, but they're seeing you as strong and maybe cold. And to admit that you need human connection or to appreciate human connection is not a sign of weakness. And I think Scorpio can have issues with intimacy because Scorpio and Pluto are the planet and sign of deep intimacy. They can also fear that intimacy. So it's like, how do I want intimacy without seeming weak? You know, and it's this idea that when you are bonding with somebody, you are becoming more than yourself. Let's go into this idea about the eighth house and Scorpio and Pluto being, like, let's say Libra, the sign that precedes. It's definitely about partnership, you know, me and you. Scorpio is about me and you then becoming more. You know, there's an energy created between the two of us. That is a more. And in an ultimate Scorpio kind of way, you would merge with that person, lose yourself, and create sort of a third combined person, if that makes any sense, that is greater than the sum of the parts. And so Scorpio has this yearning to become more than the sum of the parts. But in order to do that, you got to get more parts, you know. It's like, of course, within yourself, you're doing that. You're combining with your soul. You're burning out your personality. We'll talk more about that, you know, and moving up to this higher level. But there's also part with Scorpio about human beings in this life joining intimately, and that can be sexually, emotionally, financially, these ways that can make Scorpio feel very vulnerable. But there's a sense of losing the self in the other that then creates a greater, bigger other for you and for the other. This transcendent self that you bond together and create this self, this unified self together, if that makes sense. So there's this piece of Scorpio that's like, I want to transcend, but I'm terrified to blend with that person, you know, because you know it's like the death of the ego in a lot of way to bond that deep. So that's where you get that part of Scorpio. That's the fear of abandonment, because when Scorpios do bond, it's so deep that it's not like maybe an Aries can just be like, you know, hooking up, connecting, and then, oh, well, it didn't work, or a Sagittarius mind. It's like Scorpio puts it all on the line, you know, and if you're not accepting me, it's like I put my whole soul on the line. I'm not just, you know, when I'm in, Scorpio says. So there's that fear of being completely rejected because you're putting all of your soul on the line. So it's like the holding back and the privacy and all that can come in. And so I think that, you know, definitely a big issue for Scorpio is trust and learning who's the right person to trust. But also, you know, there is this thing with karma that sometimes you go in a relationship and it doesn't work out, but you're growing through it. And a lot of times Scorpios will be able to see that and see, okay, this was a soul growth, even just having bonded and attained for a short time a higher connection, and now that's passed. And for Scorpio to then keep the heart open and bond with the next person that they're karmically connected to and not holding back because of past wounds, and being able to integrate the wound and the lesson and the karmic piece and move ahead. So that's the dance of Scorpio, is how do you get, and I wrote this down, fully present detachment. It's like, because Scorpio is about being able to let it go as well as being fully in it but ready to let it go, kind of like my friend with her son, loving him so much, but knowing if he died at any minute, she could release him or she would survive or something like this. It's like, how do you 100% love someone and 100% able to be okay without it? That's that tension point of Scorpio. Oh, boy. So much, right? Okay. So I also want to say, with Alice Bailey, she has a wonderful book called The Labors of Hercules. And, by the way, before I start that, I do want to say I am Aluna Michaels, and my website is alunamichaels.com. My phone number, if you did want a personal session, is 248-583-1663. And that's a cell phone, so you can also text to it. Okay, so Alice Bailey, who wrote Esoteric Astrology and coined that term, also wrote a book called The Labors of Hercules. And it's the 12 Labors of Hercules, if you remember from mythology. And she assigns each of the labors to an astrological sign. With Scorpio, it's Hercules and the nine-headed Hydra. And she talks about that as the way he overcomes the Hydra, because he's struggling with it in the mud and it's almost going to kill him, and he's trying to cut a head off and another nine more heads spring out or something, you know. And he finally gets to the point where he's so frustrated about it that he just gets on his knees and he's in the mud and the muck and lifts the monster over his head, just almost like, take it, God, like I'm defeated by this. And when he lifts that Hydra up is when it is vanquished and it dies. And so this idea that comes from this is that Alice Bailey writes, in Scorpio, we rise by kneeling, we conquer by surrendering, we gain by giving up. And she also says that as long as Hercules fought in the bog, amid the mud, slime, and quicksand, he was unable to overcome the Hydra. He had to raise the monster into the air. That is, he translated his problem into another dimension in order to solve it. So there's this idea with Scorpio of that surrender, of complete surrender of self, surrender of the problems. And that was a wonderful thing. Einstein said you can't solve a problem in the same consciousness that created it. So that esoteric part of Scorpio, to be able to go beyond the problem, to grasp the solution in the higher consciousness. And Scorpio, when you're especially like, you know, getting past the fear and gaining all this empowerment, is really that key. So, and again, I think I do want to talk about forgiveness is such a key to this, that sometimes Scorpio can feel unworthy of receiving all this power, and maybe being afraid of misusing power, whether it's financial power, somebody connecting with you so deeply, sensing their own healing energy, all this kind of thing. It's so important for Scorpio to, that's why it's like forgiving people who have abused power in the world, the history of the world, and that those things that have occurred probably advanced humanity by their awfulness, you know, that triggered humanity to be more loving or to move out of darker places and barbaric things or this sort of deal. Forgiving yourself for times you've come up short in anything in your life or people that have let you down. It's just to cleanse and cleanse and cleanse all that to be able to receive fresh power, you know, because and fresh energy and fresh illumination. A lot of times people think of Scorpio as a dark sign, and it can be. And it can be that Scorpios can be depressed or in the muck, like Hercules in the muck, but it is about transforming that muck and bringing the light into it all. So you know that Scorpio is the scorpion, which is Scorpio in the muck, and I'm going to get you before you get me, and all that kind of dark part of Scorpio that, you know, you're familiar with all those myths of Scorpio. But Scorpio is also the eagle, which is interesting. You know the one about the phoenix rising from the ashes is the great Scorpio one too, that something amazing comes out of seemingly nothing, and that's that idea of, you know, we are and we conquer by surrendering and all that. But the idea of the eagle, that Scorpio is the protector and the observer, and I know eagles are kind of, you know, kind of a rough bird in some ways, they're taking things and all that, but a bird of prey. But the idea of the eagle being that eagle eye, the watchful eye over everything. This is why it's such an extreme sign. I mean, it's in the deepest, darkest muck as a scorpion, or it's at the highest flight possible as the eagle. And to be able to be the eagle and view what's happened to you or things that are hard, instead of from the scorpion, you know. The eagle would have a different perspective. And thinking with the eagle, the eagle's able to see the karma that's surrounded. Maybe you see some past lives around things or other people's karma, and you can see, wow, look at that playing out. You see it in a broader picture. So that can help with forgiveness and understanding when you get a broader picture of these life events that look awful. It can be like, wow, that needed to happen to that person, or that was karma balancing out or something. And again, it doesn't mean you don't take action in the world, because there's times definitely to take action, but to be able to say what's happened in the past was for a purpose, and be able to say, I want to see that higher purpose with things, instead of being in the muck of being this, you know, Hercules struggling with the Hydra in the mud and feeling scorpion-like. Okay, so let's move on a little bit more here. Okay, let's talk about, and let's just talk about sex first with the Scorpio. I was going to talk about the death part, but, you know, Scorpio, people say, yeah, Scorpio is a sexy sign and all this, and it is sexy, but the idea of sex with Scorpio is really different from, say, an Aries. You know, Aries is kind of like, hey, you know, and that kind of bravado sort of sexuality. I mean, Scorpio is sex in the sense of transcendence, that to become one, like a tantric merging, that by connecting a body with another body, you're more than a body. You're a soul, you know, again, this idea of blending and even beyond blending, creating a new energy. And that's the type of sexuality that Scorpio, in an esoteric level, represents, you know, lower level, but, you know, Scorpio can be obsessions. And this is the same for Pluto, obsessions, compulsions, especially sexual obsessions. And this is something intriguing to mention. When Pluto went into Scorpio, I mean, it went in the 80s, but it really opened up a whole lot about sexual abuse stuff. I mean, people never were, like, super open about that. I mean, you know, while Pluto was in Scorpio, I think Oprah Winfrey came out as molested. She was one of the first people to come forward about that. And then, you know, we get more and more people talking about abuse issues. And in general, too, that started more when it was sexual abuse, people talking about, you know, adult children of alcoholics and emotional abuse and coercion and dysfunctional families and all of that. And then now, you know, that those doors have been open, we can talk about even sex addiction and why people do molesting things or have torment with their sexuality. All this is Plutonian stuff. You know, Pluto and Scorpio, sorry, combining both. That there's that sense of shame, and again, because it's this darkest self and the shadow self, and being able to find, like, a why to that. That's another component of Scorpio and Pluto, is delving deep, because you can go into the mud and be self-pitying or be in the blah, but you can also go in and say, what is the core? Why does it do this? Why does the human condition, is it this way? Why is my soul this way? Why are my compulsions like this? Why? Why am I addicted to binge eating? Why am I a drug addict? Why am I looking at porn all day? Why? I want to know the core reason. And so that's also part of Scorpio, is diving into the mud for a purpose, to get the reason, to get the goo, to, you know, to find in that shadow why. And so those times when Pluto went through Scorpio, for those 15 years, it really opened up that dialogue in civilization, or at least Western civilization, about sex and the impact about power and issues with sex and compulsion and stuff. And so that's where Scorpio is, about the power issues surrounding sex, and for bad or good, you know, for the sense of spiritual empowerment, emotional empowerment, intimacy, connection, but also the way it can be abused. So that's where Scorpio comes in there. Scorpio is also, too, about financial power, so it can be, and a lot of Scorpios seem to have issues or experiences where they have it all, they're, you know, riches to rags to riches, and it's like, and again, like my friend who had that image of her sun going and dying. It's just like Scorpios seem to have these extreme things about having it all and having nothing, and either they're afraid they're going to lose it, or they do go through a period of cleansing, financial cleansing. And that's something, too, that Scorpio and Pluto represent, is the cleansing, the purification. And back to that idea of the crucible, the soul being purified by life, that it's cleansed of impurities, healed of negative karma and fears, so it can shine so brightly and turn into gold. And that's why Scorpio and Pluto can represent people that are extremely wealthy, you know, in this lifetime. They can be well and or powerful with healing. I want to go over some healer type people with prominent Scorpio and Pluto. But to know that if you're a healer, you have to so have your ego purified to not get on a power trip about being able to heal. And hopefully with money, that you're a philanthropist and not someone who manipulates with money. Or if you have sexual power, that you use that with kindness and respect for these people rather than abusing them, or, you know, if you're physically powerful, all these kind of issues of power with Scorpio. Okay, and then the other one is this idea, so we've got sex, money, and death. Scorpio being this, and Pluto being the planet of death and transformation, and Scorpio being that sign. So when we're talking about death, it's definitely that idea of cleansing, but Scorpios in their lifetime definitely experience major shifts that would be death of their ego in a lot of ways through certain experiences, and that could be things that happen to you through trials of life, but also wanting to kill off the lower self is a big Scorpio theme. And not like I hate myself and I'm horrible, but on a spiritual level about being freed from the ego, being freed from those resentments, being freed from the fears is a sense of killing the personality and unleashing and revealing this greater energy of the soul. So being able to live in the life of the soul, and allowing, and that's again, if we talk more about forgiveness, we're allowing the trials of life, instead of getting stuck in why they happened and resentful at the means of that or whoever was the agent of it, to see that it was your soul wanting to overcome something, grow beyond something, and move, and most importantly, transition into a higher level of energy. And that's if Scorpio gets stuck in, they took this lower energy from me, or this thing happened here, 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 and then the lesson isn't integrated. It's like you lost the why. And that you lost the empowerment of being moved up, being releasing, forgiving, moving up. And so this idea of death as a transformation is, and because, well, you know, in Scorpio and Pluto, it's not just death, it's death and rebirth, death and resurrection. And Alice Bailey put it in her esoteric astrology book that Scorpio, there's two different things. It is the sign of test, trial, and triumph. And another way she put it is it can be recapitulation and reorientation. So that recapitulation is everything on its head, everything out, baby out with the bathwater seemingly, and then a complete sense of new path. And that idea to let go of everything to get the new path. You know, and the key word being triumph, when she said, you know, test, trial, and triumph, the key word for Scorpio on that esoteric level is triumph, triumphing over everything, the anger, the frustration, the ego, the lower self, all of that. And I had some other things to say about that. Let me find that, because her words were better than mine about this transformation stuff. Let's see. Yes. Well, I'm just seeing another thing here that I did want to say about when I was talking about the loneliness or the abandonment issues and the privacy. Scorpio also has a sense of pride about being separate. So that's where it can, that's something big to look at. And whether it's, you know, wanting to move toward more trust with people, but, and being, sometimes having, let's say, a spiritual ego that, you know, these people are really caught in their stuff and I'm not, and or I'm better than them. And that can be definitely an excuse to not bond. Of course, you want to have discernment about bonding with the proper people. But this idea of the pride of separateness is challenging for Scorpio. Okay, let me see where the other piece was. I can't find it. Okay, well, we'll just stick with that test, trial, and triumph. And let's see. This is another thing I wanted to say about Scorpio here, that this is an esoteric astrology book by Al Spaley, that Scorpio is using the mind in a particular way. And when you come in with Scorpio, this is what you're striving for. Two stages, she says. And this is empowering. She's calling it the mind being released into full governing activity. And you could see that being more accessing more of your brain, you know, that we say we don't use like 2% of our brain. There's 98% not being used. Well, the first stage for Scorpio is the intellect becomes dominant and eventually controls the emotional nature. And I think that's that part of Scorpio that can, you know, getting stuck in the resentments and things like that, that you're learning to be able to manage the intense emotional power of Scorpio and have it not exhaust you and deplete your energy. So the intellect, you're learning to drive the car, you know, because Scorpio is such a powerful emotional energy to carry within you. So that's that first idea. And so the intellect controls the emotions. We become more poised about all that turmoil. And then stage two, she says, when the intellect is illumined by the light of the soul. So that other, then there's this stage where when you get past that emotion, this is where you don't want to get stuck in judging people who are still emotional, or I'm better than them, or look at them having issues. Or sometimes Scorpio can get into this separatistness of the spiritual ego. But to then allow the soul to penetrate the intellect. And that is where when Scorpio moves into this being able to forgive, because that's, you know, like remember Fonzie on Happy Days when he couldn't say he was wrong and he'd say, I was, and like Scorpio would be, forgive you, I can't forgive. And but forgiveness comes from compassion and, again, seeing it from the eagle's perspective of that there's all of us souls are working on evolution in our own way. And how do I, you know, again, be strong and clear and moving forward and guiding others and all that, but still doing it from the heart, integrating the heart into it. So you're kind of moving away from emotion and then transmuting the emotion into a higher guiding force. Scorpio is a water sign, so it is emotional. But how do you do it so that you first you master it and then you learn to reuse the emotion in the sense of this compassion and coming from a higher level of divine love? And so that's a big journey for Scorpio. Okay, let's see if there's anything else. And I wanted to talk about famous Scorpios and how they, or other people with Pluto, and how interesting all what I've been talking about is with that. Okay, and maybe just one last word about shame. This is always interesting. Maybe people are surprised when I went to theology school. because people see that astrology and religion aren't connected, but I see astrology being a way we're guided to our soul and to express our God self. But I was taking a course in grieving and psychology of grieving, and our teacher talked about shame being, when he talked about the, you know, original sin, and he was saying shame, that Adam and Eve were living in a God consciousness, let's say, if we look at the story in that way, that they were in God consciousness. And then when they had the tree of knowledge, you know, they got into the opposites, that there's some esoteric symbolism of that, that now all of a sudden they see, you know, man, woman, naked clothes, all the opposites, good, bad, because it was the tree of good and evil, right? So they move into their consciousness drops into a human condition as opposed to a fully God mind, and then God sees them and And it says they were ashamed. They were naked and they felt ashamed. And so this teacher would say this is the primal wound of humanity is shame, and everything else comes out of that that is not good for humanity. Anger, low self-esteem, crime. I mean, all these things come out of the original not good emotion. Let's say if, you know, in Unity they say sin is missing the target. If it's shame being that primal thing that everything springs from that isn't good about being a person or that's struggling when you're in human form, that Scorpio and Pluto represent shame. And working with that and seeing, you know, what you can do to feel you are standing in the light of God and not ashamed and feeling you are one, like a you inherit the universe. You are, I don't want to say just good enough, but getting back to that sense that on the most esoteric way to say it, you're okay. So that's a big, big journey about Scorpio and Pluto. And again, we all have it in our chart somewhere. So, okay. Now, I'll say my name again. Do I do that now? Okay, Aluna Michaels. And my website's alunamichaels.com. Again, my phone number is 248-583-1663. And you can text to that number. Okay. Now, you know, usually I use this time to talk about pop culture and be kind of fun and stuff like that. But, you know what, it's Scorpio. How fun is it? I don't know. These weren't such fun examples I dug up for you. Quickly, I would just say some interesting Scorpio people that have a lot of Scorpio in their chart. Let's talk about some fun, famous people. One is, let's say, Jodie Foster, who's got a lot of Scorpio in her chart, for sure. She is a Scorpio and has a bunch of planets in Scorpio. She was born with what they call the stellium, with a whole bunch of planets lined up in Scorpio. And think, look at these themes with her and her films. First of all, she's a very private person, as we know. That's very Scorpio. And, I mean, her first major role in Taxi Driver, she plays a 13-year-old prostitute. And, of course, the whole movie was, you know, about crime. And, of course, she's a prostitute. It's bad enough. But, you know, all of this being saved and, you know, by Robert De Niro's character. I mean, it's an interesting role that she would choose, you know, or was chosen for her. And then even with The Accused being this whole other movie about the woman who went through that gang rape situation and had to confront all those people. And, you know, she played that role. And then Silence of the Lambs. I mean, a lot of these roles are intense scorpionic situations where people are being abused and people are victims to things and the triumphing over being a victim. You know, these are themes that her soul is coming to show through pop culture, but it's like deep Scorpio stuff. You know, she's not doing romantic comedies, ha ha, he he. You know, it's like the soul is drawn to these deep messages. And by the way, I think I do need to backtrack a little bit about Pluto. When you're having Pluto transits, which are these temporary energies that work with you, and it seems like it's for everyone, it's Pluto, they're really going to dig up all those issues we were talking about with Scorpio. And you're sort of a temporary Scorpio for those 2 years when you deal with Pluto. So just to know that there's a light at the end of the tunnel with Pluto, that it is transforming you to a higher place. And, you know, that is something, having a good astrologer to help you see the, not just the bright side, you know, not in a fluffy way, but how to you know, really become that phoenix rising from the ashes and seeing your life transforming and not just falling apart and betrayal and whatever's going on with the Scorpio stuff and not liking yourself and addictions popping up. It's like, this is for a higher purpose. So always when you're having Pluto transits, knowing the universe is working to move you to this higher place. So I didn't want to forget to say that. Okay. So the next person I had in mind with the Scorpio people is Leonardo DiCaprio. He has even more Scorpio than Jodie Foster. And I did read one time, or maybe I saw him doing an interview, and he said, people were like, who you dating, who's this, or what are you doing, and this private life. And he said, I don't want people to know about my private life. He's like, first of all, it's private. Secondly, it takes some mystery away. Like, I want to be in a movie and be the character. I don't want to be Leonardo DiCaprio is doing all these things and blah, blah, blah. And I know he's people see him with the models and all that business, but in general, he's very quiet about his private life. But I always thought that was really intriguing that the ego was sublimated in that way, that he didn't want people to be noticing Leo, the actor, but the character that he's transforming into these characters. So that's a Scorpio piece there. And then also looking at a lot of his roles, you know, of course, Titanic was obviously Plutonian in the sense of the disaster happening and all that. But, you know, after he got over that teen throb, heartthrob kind of deal, I mean, he's done so many of these movies with Martin Scorsese, you know, and The Departed and Gangs of New York and all this kind of seedy, intense, you know, Scorpio crime stuff. And again, he's, you know, in all these. Of course, I think, I didn't look him up, but I believe Martin Scorsese is also a Scorpio. But these ideas of the redemption, you know, and how that person is and going beyond their circumstances or finding some morality in there. Again, that's a real Scorpio quest. So I thought it's interesting that he has all that Scorpio. By the way, with Leo, he's got a million planets. Well, he's got like five planets in Scorpio, but he also has Pluto exactly on his ascendant, which makes, and his ascendant is Libra, I believe, but he's got the Pluto and the Scorpio going. So that's very intensely Plutonian. Okay, and Scorpionic. So there was that. Let me just say that for you astrology people. Yeah, his Pluto, he's got Libra rising, Pluto right on the rising sign there, and the moon in Libra right near the Pluto. And then he's got three planets in Scorpio and all that Pluto. So it's like, wow, there's a lot of that theme going on for him. Okay. In terms of money, what's interesting is I thought, let me look up Scorpio and the money and Pluto. And I found that Warren Buffett has Pluto squaring his Venus, Donald Trump, Pluto right on his rising sign, and I looked up Bill Gates. He's a Scorpio, and he has Jupiter close to Pluto. Jupiter expands things, and Pluto's the deep power and money, so it's expanded power and money, and it's in the second house of money. So it's like, well, that's part of his karma to work Pluto in that money power sort of way. In terms of healing, I thought, okay, I looked up John of God, this wonderful soul in Brazil, and he has moon in Scorpio that makes a square, a hard angle, but still to his Mars and his Pluto. Before we discovered Pluto, Mars used to rule, we say, is joined with Scorpio. So to have Mars and Pluto together connecting with the Scorpio planet is very, very Pluto-y. So, of course, he's working to pierce through people's fears, how that manifests in their bodies, and to heal with that Plutonian energy. Because someone could be a tough cookie and maybe kind of mean that could misuse that energy, but he's obviously using it in a completely different way than a mundane person might. Sai Baba, who recently passed away, he was an Indian avatar guru. I think he's an avatar, actually. But he has moon right next to Pluto in Cancer. And he used to do things. One of his big things was Vibhuti, which was divine ashes, and he would create the ashes out of nothing. Actually, I have a friend who went to see him in the 70s, and she gave me some of this Vibhuti. But it would be, you know, he would just create it from the air. So there's a Plutonian thing about this idea that we're ashes and ashes, dust to dust. Sorry. And then let's see. Who is the, okay, now these are some other things that are a little dark. But I was like, okay, with this idea of misusing power when you are Scorpio or have Scorpio issues, one of them is like Charles Manson, eek. Lots of Scorpio in his chart. And this is this idea of he has four planets in Scorpio and Pluto at the very bottom of his chart in a prominent way. And it's like, there's a misuse, obviously, of power and control and sexuality and everything, misuse of everything and being insane. But it's like, okay, there's a way we can misuse it. Interestingly, I also looked up, This girl who was, oh, let's talk about this person who was interesting with Pluto. Helen Prejean, I think her name is. I'm not sure I'm saying her name right. But she was the gal, the nun, who worked on death row when they, you saw in the movie Dead Men Walking. And she was and still is this woman who counsels these men on death row who are maybe admitted killers. Well, she has Sun square Pluto. And it's like, wow, I mean, that's obviously she's got the strength to deal with these people. But somebody with Sun square Pluto could, maybe if you looked at it in a typical astrology way, is someone who really struggles with their ego or has a lot of anger or something like this. But what's interesting is she has a very strong Neptune in her chart, being that sense of forgiveness and the sense of some type of compassion, being able to see the human condition and transcend, you know, and see what can I do to help these souls that are and have made a mess of themselves, obviously. Well, and then on that note, I looked up J.C. Dugard, who was that girl who was kidnapped when she was 11 years old, and it was like, you know, how many years she was, 18 years she was in captivity and had babies with that guy that had kidnapped her and all this stuff. And I was like, what the heck, you know, is her story? So she, and why can't I find my notes, but she has some amazing Pluto things in her chart. And, I remember, she has Pluto elevated at the highest point in her chart. And it was like, okay, that's interesting. Here she is. I've got a chart right here. So Pluto is super high up in her chart and showing these issues of power. Obviously, she was kidnapped and held against her will in like a dungeony thing for 18 years. And that experience of Pluto, of losing her power to somebody, or, you know, apparently. But to triumph, talk about triumphing, God, that she comes out of the situation still believing in humanity and letting the past go and moving on in her life. And it's like, wow, I mean, to be able to move on from something like that. But again, she has a strong Neptune as well. And she has Moon conjunct Neptune close to her rising sign. And that ability to be able to move past this terrible, terrible experience. So I kind of was looking up these people who were kidnapped. I looked up a few of these people, like the ones that were in Cleveland and in the house. And it's like they all have like a prominent Pluto thing. And similarly, they were released from the captivity when there was an angle to the Pluto. Like there was one of the girls who was in Cleveland when Saturn worked with her Pluto. She was, the guy found her in the house and she got out, Amanda Berry. And same with JC, that she had some Pluto. Pluto was working with her Mercury and her Mars and Jupiter when she was rescued. So Pluto puts you in the situation and some way takes you out of the situation. But I think it could be an interesting factor with people with prominent Scorpio Pluto is like, how are they going to work with the compassion and sensing that humanity is good and that the universe is good and somehow moving us toward higher knowledge and higher purpose? And it's like that seemed to be a key when I was researching some of these people with these horrible life experiences beyond what maybe me and you could ever imagine. And then this idea of the woman working in the prisons with this population that people just find abhorrent. And again, it's like you look at someone's chart like that and they have Sun square Pluto and you think, wow, like that doesn't seem to be a compassionate thing on the first take, you know, but to be able to say, wow, that maybe she looks at in her own darkness in herself and sees we all have darkness and we're all maybe not taking it to the same place these people are, but that these people are soul suffering or however she's viewing that is like, wow, you know, for Scorpio to walk through the darkest of the dark and come into the brightest of the bright and the lightest of the light. So that was some experiences there. I do want to just my last few minutes, because I believe I have a few more minutes. I wanted to talk again about those Pluto transits. because that's a lot of people come to me when they're having heavy planetary stuff, especially from Pluto. And so to in your meditations, I've mentioned a lot about forgiveness. I want to direct you to a wonderful forgiveness tool by Jane Elizabeth Hart, and it's called The 7 Steps for Successful Life Transitions. And the website you could get this meditation at is it's called the Center for Enlightenment, and the website is CF, as in Center for, cfenlightenment.org. And there's especially a meditation there called 7 Steps to Creating a New You, to be able to release the obsessions and shame and the stuff that's got you locked into a limited self, and be able to transcend into that higher self and greater self, and seeing, you know, how the universe is guiding you into this higher evolution that's got more joy for you and more understanding and more integration. And you can use that, of course, if you're a Scorpio, if you're having Pluto or transits, if you're just anybody and looking at your own chart and saying, where do I need to transform myself? Where's Scorpio in my chart? Where's Pluto in my chart? Those areas of those houses may need transformation. Or just doing journaling work and seeing, where am I unforgiving of myself or others? And using that meditation or some other one you find that's going to help you with forgiveness and, you know, transmuting pain into this beautiful empowerment. So I know this was an extra deep session of my radio show, but I know the Scorpios are going to be grateful for that information, and to know that this is an honor to have all this Scorpio energy or Pluto energy, and that you were given this because your soul wants it. Your soul wants to be this powerful. Your soul can do it, and has all the pieces in place to overcome and to transform and to have that triumph and victory that your soul's craving. So thanks again for listening. Again, my name is Aluna Michaels, alunamichaels.com, 248-583-1663. I will be available for you if you need. And also want to say, I do have an ebook as well. It's available on my website with a lot of information about Scorpio and all the other signs and the spiritual gifts of all the 12 signs and meditation techniques for each sign. So thank you for listening, and I'll speak to you again next month.